You are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is happening? And welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Thursday, November 29th. And the growing presence of the bench mob, we're going to be talking about that today on another After Dark edition of the Locked On Pistons podcast. This is your boy, Matt Shook, the host of the Locked On Pistons podcast, a sports writer here in the Motor City, covering the NBA for the Associated Press and the Detroit News, a Pistons fan and follower my whole life, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Thank you for the listen. Thanks for spreading the word. We appreciate that from you guys. Today, we're going to be discussing some big news from the Golden State Warriors about a certain return from injury coming up on Saturday night in downtown Detroit. We're also going to dig a little deeper into the bench situation for the Pistons, which is coming into focus for us and probably for Dwayne Casey too, as Stanley Johnson has kind of ignited a little bit of a surgence, not really a resurgence, but a surgence with the Pistons bench. We're also going to hear from one of the members of that bench, Zaza Pachulia, a little bit from the game on Tuesday night after the game there. I was out covering that for the news when the Pistons beat the Knicks, and I got some sound, so we're going to pass that along to you guys here on the podcast. But give me a follow, by the way, on Twitter at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that. Also, the Locked On Pistons Twitter account. And check out the Locked On Pistons dash Matt Shook Facebook page. Give that one a like. Participate in the conversation there on Facebook as well. But the reason we're taping this one late, wanted to watch those Michigan Wolverines tonight. How about Michigan with a big dominant win at home at Chrysler Arena, Chrysler Center, I guess they call it now, against the North Carolina Tar Heels. Congratulations to John Beilein and those guys. Just funny because I tweeted this right when the game ended that I thought, you know, Michigan might be a little bit overrated at number 22 this year because, you know, they lost so much with Mo Wagner and Muhammad Ali as well. So just a lot. Abdul Rahman, his last name escaped me for a second there, but and some more talent lost from that team as well. But and the lack of shooting that they had, and we've been programmed so much watching basketball and NBA and of course at the college level as well. And a John Beilein team that can't really shoot it from deep, definitely can't shoot free throws, sounded like maybe what might be a little bit of a recipe for a disaster. But this team is just playing such great defense there right now that that doesn't seem to matter. But we'll move on to the Pistons because I know some of the Spartan fans out there are already hating the first couple minutes of this podcast. But Piston land, the Golden State Warriors, getting a little shot in the arm on Saturday night when they visit downtown Detroit. The two-time defending champions are adding a guy that, well, he's definitely one of the top six or seven players in the league. And I don't mean that in that he's definitely that low. I just mean that he's got to at least be that high. No matter what list you're putting together, he's got to be seven at the very lowest. And that's it. That's only if you're putting a premium on things like elite defense, which I've always said that I'd rather take a great offensive player over a great defensive player. I just think with the way the league is, you got to keep up scoring with teams. And I know that there's an argument to be made on the other side, but it just seems like you can't be on the court if you can't play offense to some at some level. And to have an elite offensive player is something that throws the other team off a lot more. And so he's and this guy, Steph Curry, is obviously the player we're talking about. I know it's not a big secret. And Steph Curry is on that level where if you and I were sitting at a bar talking about basketball and you said that Steph Curry is the best player in the league, I wouldn't agree with that, but I would respect that opinion. I wouldn't say you're an idiot. I certainly wouldn't say that, but I wouldn't even say that you're wrong. I mean, you might be right. So again, one of the elite players in the history of the NBA. How about that? And let's just say he's the best shooter in basketball history, because I'm of the camp that, you know, the Jordan versus LeBron argument. I think that you could say the players evolve and the players are getting better. The league's getting better. So you could believe that Michael Jordan's the best player of all time and still believe that LeBron James is better than him. And I know that that sounds counterintuitive, but I think that you got to kind of compare eras when it comes to this thing. So while LeBron James you'd rather have on your team because he's better and would help your team win, maybe Jordan compared to his contemporaries, you might still say that he was the greatest of all time. And I would agree with, or I would say that you can be in bounds and having both of those opinions at the same time. But anyway, I digress. Steph Curry, he's been out with a groin injury since November 8th, but Steve Kerr said on Wednesday night that he will not be back on Thursday for the showdown with the Toronto Raptors and what could be an NBA Finals preview, but that Curry will return on Saturday in Detroit to take on the Pistons. Thanks a lot, says Pistons fans. Well, actually, a lot of Pistons fans do say thanks a lot because the Warriors come to Detroit one time a year, and it must be nice if you got tickets to that game to see one of the best players of all time get out there. And I'm sure there's a lot of my niece, her favorite player in basketball is Steph Curry. She's got an interesting thing where she always roots against the Michigan and the Detroit teams. That's just the way Iris is, and we like that about her. But the Warriors went 5-6 with Steph Curry out of the lineup with the injury, including the game he got injured in. So 5-5 if you take that game out that they lost against the Milwaukee Bucks. But the Warriors without him really have been struggling for a bit, of course, to their standards. They went on a 4-game losing streak, dropping the entire Texas swing on the road to San Antonio and Dallas and Houston, and then dropping a home game decisively against the Oklahoma City Thunder as well. The Warriors have since recovered since that and have won 3 in a row after that 4-game losing streak. Those wins all coming at home against the Portland Trailblazers, Orlando Magic, and Sacramento Kings. Although the Kings and the Magic game were a little bit tighter, or a lot tighter than you might expect a Warriors game at home against the Magic and Kings to be. But Curry had been playing before the injury at an MVP level. This season he dropped 51, I believe like the fifth game of the season against Washington. He had 11 threes in 32 minutes, just unbelievable effort by him. He's getting 29.5 points per game right now, which is pretty good if you didn't know that. And he's also shooting 49.2% from three-point land, which is also good, in case you were wondering as well. Other injury news about the Warriors, sounds like Draymond Green with the toe injury is expected to continue to be out for the Pistons game on Saturday, so he will most likely not play in that one. Durant, he's just been going nuts for the Warriors lately. We'll get in a little bit more about the Warriors and, of course, the Chicago Bulls, the Pistons' Friday opponent. On tomorrow's show, we decided we will do a little Friday show for you guys this week. Close November out strong with the download numbers. I know you guys care about my download numbers. We broke, by the way, the all-time record for Locked On Pistons downloads in October last month. We will probably fall short of that. We will definitely fall short of that unless there's something crazy over the next couple days for November. I do blame Thanksgiving week for that one, kind of slow there. And we'll be up against the wall in December as well with a tough schedule of games. In case you were wondering, you guys usually don't like to listen as much when we're here talking about Pistons losses. And also Christmas week, of course, nobody's going to be on their devices during Christmas week when they're off of work and off of school and all that good stuff. And it's cool. I understand that, I guess. I don't know why you'd want to spend time with your family instead of listening to the Locked On Pistons podcast during Christmas time. But we get it, I suppose. But up next, we're going to be talking about the Pistons bench and how it's coming together lately. This episode of Locked On Pistons is sponsored by Action Heat. Action Heat makes the world's best battery-heated clothing. I'm excited to try this stuff. Heat on demand at the touch of a button. Not the Miami Heat, but the heat that you need to get through these Michigan winters. Control your environment with Action Heat. Action Heat clothing is engineered to safely and efficiently deliver heat via heating paddles, similar to the heated seat of your car. They can reach temperatures of up to 135 degrees. Oh, that's a nice day. That's a nice day, that 135 degrees. Reminds me of my days living in the Virgin Islands. And are powered by rechargeable 5-volt lithium-ion batteries that last up to 12 hours on each charge. Action Heat batteries can also be used to recharge your phone, which I know you need, I need, we all need, and any other gadget while you're wearing them. Perfect for any friend or family on your holiday gift list. Great for anyone who works outdoors, the skiers, the snowboarders, anybody who loves the outdoors or hates being cold. Put me on that list. Action Heat clothing provides toasty warmth and comfort for your whole body, including heated jackets, socks, gloves, hats, and even undergarments like heated base layer shirts and long johns. You can stay warm and cozy from head to toe with Action Heat. Action Heat is available in men's and women's and has great new styles and models just released for this winter season. Make winter activities more enjoyable with a blast of warmth in all your parts. Action Heat is the perfect solution to keep you toasty and warm, even in the most frigid winter weather, which if you haven't noticed, has started early here in the Great Lakes State. I'm excited to try it myself. I'm going to be honest, I have not tried it yet. Heated products that fit everyone's budget, starting at just $39.99. But we've got a special deal for our listeners to save 20% off your entire order. Go to actionheat.com/lockedon to check out everything Action Heat has to offer. That's actionheat.com/lockedon. and use promo or use the promo code Locked On at checkout to save 20%. I know what I'm getting every one on my holiday gift list, and you should do the same. Stay toasty and warm while you enjoy all your outdoor activities this winter with Action Heat. And we thank them for sponsoring the Locked On Pistons podcast.
Yes, sir!
A little bit later on, we will hear from Zaza Pachulia about how the bench is coming together. Really insightful guy. A good interview for us to kind of latch on to throughout a long 82-game season. You know, you find those guys in the locker room, for better or worse, because I know that it just makes the job a little bit easier when there's guys who are very quotable. And that's most of the players in the Pistons locker room, by the way. But I'm thinking about another a certain franchise in Detroit sports today that you probably know what I'm referring to that has a lot of guys that aren't at all quotable. So when you find the Ricky Jean Francois of the world, it makes it all that nice and delightful to have a guy who's willing to answer some questions and willing to talk to the media as the conduit to the fans and all that good stuff. But the bench right now, we were sitting there with some of the other writers on Thursday late in the first quarter, just a dead atmosphere at Little Caesars Arena. I think a lot of you guys have at least seen that on TV or probably been to some of those games and it was just dead. And even though Blake Griffin had 9 straight points in the first quarter for the Pistons, it was still even late in the first quarter. And we were talking about, you know, they might just take an L in this game based on the energy right now and the early start and the fact that the starters weren't able to get any kind of cushion. And I'm looking around the court, we're talking about guys like Bruce Brown is out there, Stanley's out there, Zaza's out there, Ish Smith, Langston Galloway, that lineup's out there. And you're looking around at that group thinking, man, where does the half-court scoring come from? Well, sometimes it doesn't, certainly. But when you got Ish and Stanley on the push, transition-wise, you got Galloway, gets a quick breath of fresh air even on the half-court offense. He gets it up. Maybe you can get Bruce Brown to attack a little bit more on the transition and then in the half-court as well. It's a team that moves around. Needs to be getting cuts, needs to be backdooring teams, all that kind of stuff that you learned in your high school offense as well. You know, they're not going to just out-talent you. They're not going to just make a move and bully you like Blake does or the kind of things that we see the great NBA players do. None of those guys are great offensive players. They can all do something, but they're not great offensive players. But kind of as I was saying that, and we were talking about that, Stanley hits a three, and then he comes down and scores another hoop on the next possession. A nice little five-point run to close the first quarter, puts him up by 5 there. When other teams might see Blake, Reggie, and Andre out, and Reggie was playing so good in the first half of Tuesday night, they might think that when those guys are out, it's time to feast a little bit on the Pistons. And they're probably right, but when you can get those little spurts from the bench, when your bench goes in, a lot of times, especially when you have a salary positioning with the Pistons that's so top heavy and a team that relies on Blake Griffin in such a major way offensively and the things that come out of the offense behind him and even the Reggie Andre two-man game. And even Reggie and Andre as one-man games themselves as well, Bullock probably being the top shooter on the team right now with Luke Kennard being out. Obviously, that first group is the first group for a reason. There's a reason the starters start and get the get the majority of the minutes there. And that's not entirely new for the bench to come out and not just to hold them even, but to have some really good games. I'm thinking about the game at Orlando this year that the bench in the second and third quarters came back from a pretty big deficit and really was the main reason for that win. That was back when Calderon was getting the minutes with Ish Smith in the backcourt, but back when Bruce Brown wasn't getting those minutes. And Jose's minutes continue to diminish, by the way. Probably a good thing for the team as to keep him as more of an emergency option. And, of course, we remember that the bench was instrumental in starting the comeback when the Pistons were down 19 against the Toronto Raptors a couple weeks back. John Luehr, part of that group as well, and then that gets it down to single digits by the time the fourth quarter rolls around, bring the starters back in with some of the bench guys, including Langston Galloway and Stanley Johnson, and climb all the way back in that emotional win, which has really been, as we look back, and we'll do some, quarter reports and halfway reports on the season at some point, but we're going to be talking about that Toronto game if the season continues to go at least relatively well for the Pistons as being one that kind of turned things around. Such an unexpected win, such an unexpected comeback against what a lot of people were talking about were the best team in the NBA at that point. Really no indication on the surface that the Pistons would make that big comeback and get that big win. But talking about that bench, I mean, it's a mix of specialists, and this isn't certainly unique to the Pistons. If you look around the NBA, you want guys out there that have at least one NBA skill, and when you get to the middle and the end of your bench, there probably are guys that pretty much just have one, maybe one and a half NBA skills. You got the physical presence and screens of Zaza Pachulia. You got the shooting of Langston Galloway, the defense of Bruce Brown, the speed of Ish Smith. But Stanley Johnson's been that catalyst. We know that since he missed the first game of the year, but then started seven after that and then got demoted from the starting lineup in favor of Glenn Robinson III. And I'll continue to say that while Glenn Robinson III isn't really doing himself a lot of favors as a starter right now, the fact that Stanley Johnson's playing so effective off the bench is the thing that's going to keep him there. And that's a good thing if you're a Pistons fan. Obviously, he's going effective in transition, as we figured he might when you'd have the lane not so much clogged up with Blake Griffin and Andre Drummond down there. And Stanley Johnson's one of the guys from Twitter tweeted at the Locked On Pistons account the screenshot of some work he did putting together the home and road splits. I'm sorry, the bench splits compared to the starting splits for Stanley Johnson. It's staring all of us right in the face. The 10 games that he has come off the bench, he's shooting 47.1 from the field, and the scoring average is up to 11.2 points per game as opposed to 7.1 when he was starting. That shooting percentage was almost 12 points lower than that when he was starting games. So it's just kind of the way of Stanley Johnson trying to fit in with those better players offensively for the Pistons is obviously something that wasn't working for him or the team. So nice to see him have some of these big games. He had the 21 on Tuesday against the Knicks, a big game for him. His sixth game of this nine-game stretch where he's been in double figures, and seven of those nine games the Pistons have won. So obviously it's one of those barometers. We talk about barometers of whether the Pistons are going to do well. You pull out the stat sheet, look at the three-point percentage compared to the other team, and three-point makes, of course. The assist numbers is another one that's really easy to tell. And then also Stanley Johnson, did he play well? It's kind of a good barometer to know whether the Pistons played well and whether they won. And Stanley, not only is he playing well enough with the second unit, but he's playing well enough to stay on the court at the end of games, close games, with the big defense against Kawhi Leonard and that Toronto game. And he had the big block against Alonzo Trier on Tuesday night against the Knicks as they threatened to bring it down to a five-point deficit in the final minute, which would have really hurt my start writing hashtag. So we appreciate Stanley Johnson for making that big rundown LeBron James-like comeback on the fast break layup by Trier. But, some more numbers. The unit of Pachulia, Calderon, Galloway, Johnson, and Ish Smith, that's the second most effective five-man unit for the Pistons this season so far. And if you throw Bruce Brown in for Jose Calderon, which is what the Joanne Casey's kind of doing with that second unit right now, that's the third of all the five-man units in terms of effectiveness so far with the Pistons. And the trio of Langston Galloway, Zaza Pachulia, and Ish Smith is the single most effective three-man combination on the Pistons so far this season. And it's certainly a small sample size, but that's 2.5 full games of action together with those guys all out there. And it's a team that's beginning to flex their muscle a little bit as a group. Now, they're not going to go out there and bomb away and have high scores and all that kind of stuff. They've only outscored, if you add up the bench players scoring compared to the other team's bench players scoring, they've only outscored teams 6 of the 18 games. So it's not a team that's going to go out there and overwhelm opponents, but sometimes just kind of holding things steady and not rocking the boat, not hurting the team is almost as important sometimes. And we've seen it in Pistons past. Of course, we know about Isaiah Thomas and Joe Dumars and Chauncey Billups and Ben Wallace and Rasheed Wallace and all those guys from the past. But some of these guys like Vinnie Johnson and John Salley and Dennis Rodman in his younger days and Corliss Williamson, Mehmet Okur, Lindsey Hunter, Mike James. I mean, those are the guys that kind of got the crowd going, electrified the crowd at the Palace. And when your second unit can go out there and win you a game at home, you know, every other game at home or something like that, that's so valuable for a team throughout the course of an 82-game season. And for them to be ready to be a force come playoff time is also so valuable as well. So we'll see how this bench develops, but some pretty positive signs lately, and it seems like Dwayne Casey has stumbled upon some rotations that seem to be working out pretty well. Now, obviously, we got Luke Kennard coming back a couple games from now. What kind of wrinkle does that throw in? Obviously, having Luke Kennard is better than not having Luke Kennard, but how does that change how Casey goes to his bench, we will see. And it should be interesting to watch as Pistons fans going forward. But the Locked On Podcast Network is doing unprecedented things on Twitter and Instagram. On both of those platforms, Twitter and Instagram, follow Locked On NBA Net, just how it sounds, Locked On NBA Net. We've got all sorts of great stuff on game nights, got all the hosts. It's kind of the ultimate Twitter feed for you. And on Instagram, clips from all the shows that you should be checking out as well. So make sure you follow Locked On NBA Net on both Twitter and Instagram. But up next, we're going to hear from one of those guys on the bench mob, Zaza Pachulia, about how it's coming together for him here in Detroit. That's next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast, which is a proud member of the Locked On Network, your team every day. Now, first off, I want to go back on something we talked about last segment. We threw out some of those numbers about the five-man units. And I just want to reiterate that these are such small sample sizes. And I've been on the show kind of railing against the small sample sizes, five-man unit kind of stats. And I don't say those to say that these five guys have to be together and this is the combination that works. It's just, you know, we write these articles, we have these podcasts, we have to have some evidence for some of our points that we're trying to make or some of the points that some of the players are, and coaches are trying to make that we're quoting in the articles. So, you know, I'm just saying these kind of things seem to be working. I'm not saying this is the complete answer or that this unit's better than that unit or that a certain starter couldn't be out there with some of these bench players at some time because it messes up something. I'm more of a believer in two-man numbers and three-man numbers than I am in like complete five-man numbers. Now, there are situations like the Toronto Raptors team last year that five-man second unit just was a bulldozer together, and maybe in those situations you need to have those five together. I do believe that certain guys play well with another guy on the court for real practical reasons, and sometimes that can extend to a three-man unit, but very rarely can you say that these five guys have to play together. But if you do get to that point sometime, then you've really found something special. And I don't know that this Pistons team is ever going to get there, maybe this season in this iteration. I could see where Stanley Johnson and Bruce Brown could be part of a special five-man unit at some point. I think Ish Smith has a lot of the things. And really, Langston Galloway and Zaza Pachulia maybe less so. Some of these guys have the kind of traits that you might want in a special five-man unit. Now, will it ever get to that point? We will see. But certainly, I think Dwayne Casey is going to give it that chance and try to make that work. But here's Zaza Pachulia from the locker room on Tuesday night after the win against the New York Knicks with some interesting comments about his experience and the bench and just some other things that I thought were pretty insightful from Zaza in his first year with the Pistons.
Fortunate to be playing this night for 16th year. And an amazing mentor. So I had a chance to play for and learn from the coaches and continues, Coach Casey and his staff, and learn from my vets. Last 2 years, obviously, winning the championship with the Warriors. It's been a great, great experience. Without doing the right things, both ends, it's impossible to win. I got in my bag, I got in my pocket basically, and wherever I go, either it's basketball or off the court, anywhere, you know, there are certain things that they always keep it, keep reminding myself, and that's my approach to everything, and either the professionals or discipline or working hard, I think, and as far as you have those things, good things happen. I'm just talking general talk.
He's talking about allowing that the second unit format. Now that you guys have a little bit of stability with who's making up that unit, what do you think is what's kind of the blueprint for success for the second unit?
Yeah, if you look at it, you know, nothing crazy, nothing flashy, right? But you know, we're moving the ball, we're moving the bodies, and we're playing right away, cutting. Once we have our selfish guys and we play the right way. We got shooters, we got guys who can attack, we got guys who can straight, guys who can speed, like Ishii, you know? So it's a good mix of guys, I think. Everybody brings something on the table, we're getting things done, and I don't believe in flashy things, I believe in, you know, play this game right way. Once you do that, it's fun. You know, it's fun for the guys on the court. It's fun for the fans and the media. Sometimes give us show some love, you know. And I like our security. Honestly, since day one, you know, once I look at it, kind of reminded me when I was with the Milwaukee Bucks. If you could see, we had the most unathletic second unit, but you know, they carry us over, you know, in the playoffs, and they did an amazing job. So. We're watching the film, you know, we're talking to each other, and how we can help each other, basically, how we can help the team, and I think that's what it is, and it's fun to be part of it.
Maybe not the best audio, but I wanted to point out that that blow-up from the locker room was the, they got all the games on the big screens after the game, and they watched Josh Richardson miss the three-pointer at the buzzer, losing the game for the Miami Heat against the Atlanta Hawks. Miami falls to 7-13, by the way, as we're kind of watching teams that are thinking about making trades or maybe reconfiguring the roster, the direction of the franchise might be a team to keep an eye on. Everyone's talking about the Washington Wizards and obviously the inside scuttlebutt that's going on there behind the scenes, but maybe Miami might be a team to watch out for in terms of making big swings and bold moves as well. But give our sister and brother stations the Locked On Lions, the Locked On Wolverines, the Locked On Spartans. There are all those great Michigan sports podcasts out there that you guys should all be checking out. We appreciate you spreading the word about the Locked On Pistons podcast as well. So thanks for listening. Give us a follow on social media. We'll be back with a bonus Friday podcast tomorrow. Thanks you guys again. This is your host, Matt Shook, saying we'll talk to you guys tomorrow.